This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3892, for Tuesday, the 4th of July, 2023. Today's show is entitled Emacs Package Curation Part 1. It is hosted by DNT and is about 36 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, let's go through every single package installed in my Emacs configuration.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is your host, DNT. It has been a while since my last one, but I am back. And today I would like to talk to you about some Emacs packages. To paraphrase Klaatu, I'm going to say, let's go through every single package installed in my Emacs configuration. So, I've been using Emacs for, I think, maybe 6 years or so. Most of what I use is just org mode to organize some of the stuff I do, to think about it and write about all kinds of things. I used to use one of those so-called Emacs distributions, which is kind of like a pre-configured distribution of Emacs that you can kind of further configure yourself, but that somebody else took care to set up a lot of things. And that's really handy because often when you first download Emacs, the thing is so minimal that you can struggle to figure out what to do. But that's not really true. That's a bit of an exaggeration, I think, but that's what a lot of people feel like when they first open Emacs after downloading it. And I certainly remember having that experience. And then there are some distributions, of which the most popular ones are called Doom and Spacemax, that kind of ease that experience and make it feel more like a more featureful text editor, like the other ones we may be used to. That's a really handy thing to use those distributions. It's an excellent way to use Emacs, but a lot of people will eventually move to having their own configuration, which tends to be simpler and only limited to what you actually use, right? Because these Emacs distributions, they're, you know, you would have to be a developer who can understand, I don't know, tens of languages to actually be able to use all of that. It's trying to serve a lot of different people, and you can actually make an Emacs configuration that's just meant to serve you, right? And then what's interesting too is that the people that make these distributions like Spacemax and Doom, they also do, in addition to providing the distribution, which is very fancy in itself, they also do a significant service in curating the packages that are out there. And this is a little like, Emacs is a little like LaTeX, the typesetting system, otherwise known as LaTeX, where there's like thousands and thousands of libraries and of packages created by others, not created by those who make the system itself. And without using those packages, you're really pretty limited. It's kind of like the actual experience of using Emacs, in my opinion, involves using packages that people have written that make Emacs what it is to most people. In building my own configuration, eventually I did go through a lot of the modules that I used in Doom before doing this. And I actually looked into what all those packages were, what they do, and then I picked the ones I actually want to use. And of course I did this over a long time, right? I started making this my own configuration a while ago, and I would just basically test it. I wouldn't really use it. I still used Doom for my everyday work. But then eventually, you know, as tends to happen, then you get to a point where the thing is usable, and then you can start using it, and then you kind of speed up improving it until it gets to a stable point. So that's where I'm at now. So anyway, I made a configuration that's made up of three files. And the purpose of it is that I will load the first file, and then the other two files will load conditionally depending on my environment. And the purpose there is so that I can have the same configuration on my Linux laptop, on my Windows computer that I use for work, and also on Termux on Android, which I don't use it very much there. But anyway, I figured I would do that anyway. So basically, Termux will load only the first file. Then on Windows, it'll load the first and the second file. And on Linux, it'll load all three files. So that allows me to have a configuration that works on all three. And I don't have to make changes to the configuration. I can push a change to it on my Linux laptop, and then I can pull it later on Windows, and it'll still work there as well. And then the other thing, I think maybe a good reason to use your own configuration is that it's a lot easier to make it light enough to work well on different systems, especially Windows, because Emacs on Windows is pretty tricky. It gets slow very fast. So all these distributions, I think, are nearly unusable on Windows. So, but my configuration is perfectly usable on Windows. It's worked very well for me. Starting with the first file, we start out with this bootstrap boilerplate stuff that's supposed to pull in a package that's called Strait. And Strait is one of the package managers that exist for Emacs. So Strait is going to install the other packages that I'm going to use. So we install Strait. Then using Strait, we install another package manager of sorts that's called Use Package. That's a very popular one. It's so popular that you will often have package developers will have a Use Package snippet for installing and configuring their package. It's very common to see that. So then the rest of my configuration is just a series of Use Package incantations, let's say. And then we start off with a package that's called Diminish. It's a very simple one. So Emacs is mainly made up of major modes and minor modes. So major modes are generally associated with the type of file you're opening. So for example, there could be a major mode for viewing your emails. And there could be a major mode for editing Python files. Or org mode is a major mode, for example, for editing org files. So the major mode will make a bunch of key bindings and things, syntax highlighting and all that kind of thing, available to you when you are in this mode, right? And obviously you will want to enter this mode automatically when you open a file in which it would be appropriate to have this mode turned on. And then minor modes are modes that you can have multiple of them activated at the same time. So minor modes are like more minor tweaks to your experience of using Emacs, whereas a major mode, you can only be in one major mode at a time, right? So minor modes, they can do things like check your syntax or spelling and highlight words, you know, to like underline a misspelled word, for example, let's say. They can also, I don't know, do things like restrict the width of your text block on your screen, or, you know, that kind of thing. So, well, and anything else you can imagine, probably. So when you have a minor mode activated, the name of this minor mode in this kind of a shorthand form will appear in your mode line. The mode line is this line at the bottom of your screen in Emacs. So the minor modes will all appear there. So But there are some modes that you basically have them on all the time, so you don't really care to see them there all the time. So the package diminish helps you hide these minor mode flags based on the mode, right? So it integrates with use package so that when I make my use package incantations to pull in all my packages, I have an option that says diminish, and then I can, well, if I just turn on that option, then this minor mode that's associated with the package, or a minor mode that I can name explicitly, will be diminished, which means it will not be reported in my mode line. Okay? Next, we have Evil. Evil is the Emacs Vi layer. It's there's a saying that goes, Emacs is like the only thing, something like the only thing that Emacs is missing is a good text editor. So Evil is a package that fixes that by making it work like a modal editor in the sense of Vim or Vi. So yeah, it basically just implements the modes, the editing modes, like insert mode and normal mode, visual mode, and so on. And it implements all of your key bindings, just like in Vim. So if you're used to Vim, you can use Vim in Emacs, and then it's going to be pretty good. Not that I really think that the Emacs key bindings and that whole thing is necessarily terrible, but in my opinion, it's like the Vim way of editing a text file, where you have these modes you switch between. You enter insert mode and then you exit it, and so on. It's objectively better, in my opinion, because it's like a transient mode. You don't have to keep holding down a key to remain in this mode that you generally are gonna stay in for a bit when you enter it, right? Although I guess when you leave it, it's kind of more temporary, but that's the risk that happens with Emacs modes and that kind of mode, is accidentally editing your text, right? And that's what Vim editing helps with. You're less likely to edit your text accidentally. So in the use package incantation here, we can create some configurations like binding keys and setting other variables to configure the behavior of this package. So that's what the use package does. It just helps you kind of have a very tidy looking configuration. You just make this one self-contained declaration, use package evil, and then all your configuration and all your bindings, so that if you stopped using evil, all of a sudden you could just delete that entire block and you wouldn't have to do anything else. So moving on, we have evil collection. And that's a whole bunch of kind of other bindings and integrations with other packages. It's like sometimes you install Evil Collection and then you start using not much for your email in Emacs, for example, and then you don't even realize that the evil bindings for the not much mode actually come from the Evil Collection package. You would have to go in and read the package, the Evil Collection package files, to even realize that that's the case. Then I have a package that's called Evil Surround, and I think there is a corresponding Vim package that's Surround. So you know, this provides those commands where you can select some text and then press a key and then press another key, and you will surround the text with something. So like I can select a word, press the S key and then the parenthesis key, and it'll surround my word in parentheses, right? The opening and the closing parentheses. Next we have Company. Company is an in-buffer completion package. In-buffer completion means you're in the buffer, you're editing your text file or whatever, and you can start typing something, and this package will provide completion. It'll show you, you know, show you options about what you're trying to type. That's in the buffer, right, when you're editing your actual file. And then we have company box. That's connects with company, and company box is it just shows kind of like a fancier completion. And it can, I think it's this package that provides a pretty nice thing where if I'm editing an ELISP file, for example, which is the type of file that Emacs is configured with, I can start typing the name of a function, and then it'll show me the completion options, and I can press up and down to view each one, and it'll actually show me the documentation of the function in another kind of tooltip thing. So that is pretty cool to be able to see all that so quickly. Anyway, but there are other ways to do it if you prefer. If you prefer a more quiet experience. So, all right, next is the package called WitchKey. And WitchKey is another essential one where you, as you start typing keys to activate commands, WitchKey will show you what are the options you have now and what they will do. So for example, in Emacs, there are two very important keys that are Control X and Control C. So Control X is basically about the application. Options about the application will be behind the Control X binding. And option about modes, especially major modes, will be behind Control C. So then I might press Control C, and then after about like half a second or something, WitchKey will show me on the bottom of my screen. It'll kind of expand the area where the mode line is and show me all the different options that I can press next and what they will do. For example, it might show me, let's see, Control C. Then I'm seeing exclamation point as a prefix. So if I press that, it means I'm going to go to another set of options. And if I press Alt P, I will open the perspective map, which is to do with another package that we'll see later on. That's kind of like workspaces. And if I press G, I activate Write Good mode, which is another package we'll see later on. So this means if I press G now, I will turn on Write Good mode. So the full command I ran was Control C and then G. Anyway, so that's what WitchKey does. Next we have Anzu, A-N-Z-U. No idea if that's the right way to say that. But the Anzu, I believe it gives you feedback about your search queries when you're doing a search in your buffer. It shows you everywhere the term occurs as you are typing it. I've never really tested disabling this package to see what it'll do, what this will look like without that. So I don't know. I could be slightly wrong about what this package does. But anyway, I have it installed. That's, that might happen. Next, we have Vertico. So Vertico is, I guess they call it vertical completion. And this is completion in the mini buffer. The mini buffer is the area at the very bottom of your screen under the mode line where you enter commands and things like that, where you see commands at times. For example, if you run something that requires decrypting something using your GPG key, the mini buffer might be where you type your GPG key passphrase, for example. So Vertico is one of the nice things about it is in comparison to other mini buffer completions, I guess, if that makes sense, is that others you have to rebind a lot of keys for things to go through the completion. And it seems like Vertico somehow does it on its own. So if you have Vertico installed, and then, so for example, if you're going to search files, you're going to search a file to open, right? Normally, you would type in at the bottom of your screen in the mini buffer. And I think by default, there is some completion, but it's like horizontal. So the different completion options appear side by side only on the bottom line of your screen. Then with one of these vertical completion packages, it shows as a list, right, vertically. And a lot of these other packages, you have to remap the key that's the command to open files, which is Control X, Control F. You have to remap that to a different command that would be called, I don't know, maybe like console find file for the console completion package. And with vertical, you don't have to do that. I don't know why it is. I haven't looked at the code, but anyway. So I copied a bunch of, boilerplate from the Vertico GitHub. They have a few other commands that they suggest you use in your configuration within a use package declaration for Emacs itself. I didn't know you could do that, and I haven't really looked through this to understand very well what it does. I just copied and pasted. Sorry about that. But it's pretty short. I don't think it's doing anything very revolutionary. So next, we have the package Orderless. Orderless is a pretty cool package. It's anytime you're using the vertical completion, it allows you to type terms not in the same order as they appear in your match. So let's say if you have a file called foobar in your home directory and you want to open it, you can press Control X, Control F, and then you could type bar space foo, and the vertical would still find the file for you. It would still show you as a match, even though you typed bar and then foo, but the file name is foobar. Next, we have Marginalia. That's a very nice one, too. Marginalia is in Vertico as well. It'll show you a bunch of information alongside the match it's showing you. So, for example, when you press Alt-X, which is the command to just to run an Emacs command, not by a key binding, but by just typing out the command. So this is similar to pressing the colon key on Vim. You can type your commands there. This is using Vertico to show me all the options I have to choose from. And then it actually tells me to the right of it, it actually says what the command does. This is taken from the functions, from the commands doc string, right? That short little string that explains what the command does. So Marginalia is to be thanked for that. That's the package that makes that happen. So it does that for all kinds of different things as well. Like it'll show you some of the permissions information when you're looking at files. It's pretty clever. So, all right, moving on. This is all coming mostly from the Vertico snippet. They kind of suggest you use a bunch of other packages alongside it. As you can see, all these packages integrate pretty closely with Vertico, and they provide all the use package declarations for you. So you can just copy and paste all this if you want. So the next one is called Consult, and this is about searching for text. It has a bunch of new commands related to searching for text in your files, in your buffer, etc. Okay, the next one is called Perspective, and that's kind of like workspaces. So, let's say I'm working here. I have my main org file, and then I call up my agenda. Then I'll see the agenda on the right side. The window will be split, and on the right I'll see the agenda. On the left I'll see my main org file. And then let's say all of a sudden I want to quickly open this other file, but I want to be able to come back quickly to this arrangement I have here. That's what perspective is for. You just create a new perspective, give it a name, then do whatever you want to do. Then you can switch back to the old perspective, and it's right there just like you left it. All right, then next we have Doom Themes. Doom Themes is provided by Doom Emacs, the Emacs distribution. It's all of their themes, so this affects all the colors, and including the syntax, highlighting, etc. So I like those. They're pretty good. So I use the default one from Doom that's called Doom 1. So I just call in this package, Doom Themes, and then I load the Doom 1 theme. Next we have Powerline. Powerline is a mode line theme. So the mode line is that bottom of the screen there. Power line is, it defines what will appear in the mode line exactly. So it adds a bunch of different things. It shows like the Vim, the mode that I'm on. It shows what branch I'm on, if the file is Git, is under Git. And it shows the name of the perspective I'm on and all that kind of thing. Then next, next I have Airline Themes. So Airline Themes is a different theme for Powerline. This is exactly like the Vim Airline package that exists for Vim that some of you may know. So it just changes the look of your mode line, and I like the way it looks. Next we have Solaire Mode. Solaire Mode, all it does is whenever you create a buffer that is not showing you a file, that buffer will be darker than the regular buffers. So let's say, again, that example where I'm looking at my main org file where all my to-dos are listed and project notes or whatever it is, or things that have come to my attention, they're all in there. And I open my agenda. The agenda is one of these kind of fake buffers, let's say. So that'll be shown on the right, and then the background will be darker than my regular buffer. It's kind of nice to have that distinction between these sort of transient buffers and your actual editing buffers. So I like that. Next, we have YaSnippet. Why a snippet? It is yet another snippet management package. It's a very popular one. I think pretty much everybody uses this one. And you know, you have snippets you can make, keep them in a directory, and then you can quickly paste them into your file. Nothing much to say here, not much of a mystery there. Next, we have Projectile. That's to do with project management. To be honest, I don't use it a whole lot. I mainly just use it for the projectile rip grep command, which is it just runs a search in all the files that are in the same Git checkout that I'm in. So yeah, you're in a repository and you want to quickly search through everything. You can use this projectile rip grep command. It does a whole bunch of other stuff, I'm sure, but I don't use much of it. And next we have RG. RG is just to use rip grep within Emacs. That's all it does. Rip grep is like a pretty nice grep command that'll basically grep all the files in the directory you're in. So it's like grep for multiple files, I guess. Then we go on to org. So org is org mode. It is that sort of project management document writing package and syntax format, whatever you want. It's that one that you should never decide you're going to stop using it, because you're just going to come back to it later. So it is that thing that humanity has been trying to reinvent ever since it first came into existence, and it has so far failed. So like I was just saying, if you use org and you start thinking about stopping and switching to something else, just don't, because you're just going to come back to it. And if you don't use org, you know, hopefully you will soon. We could spend hours and hours talking about this, so let's not. Moving on. Org up here is a package that when you're editing your org file, there are some things that by default, the org mode, the major mode, will hide from you, and it'll to make it look more readable, right? And then there's a command that's called visible mode that makes everything show. All the actual plain text will actually be displayed in buffer. So a lot of times you want to do that. You want to turn on visible mode quickly to make a very targeted edit, let's say. So this org up here makes it so when you enter insert mode in a line, just that line will have visible mode activated. And next we have evil org, which is just key bindings for Vim. Vim-like key bindings for org mode. Then moving on, we have some kind of general settings here. I guess I'll call out just, you know, I hide the scroll bar, I hide the menu bar and the toolbar so that there are no window decorations at all. I set up where my custom file is going to be, which is it's this file that is going to store some information, some kind of transient configuration information, let's say. I'll say that. So yeah, you're supposed to tell it where you want it to be. Otherwise, it's just going to put it at the bottom of my configuration file, but I don't want that because then it's going to keep showing up in Git as changes, right? And then I have conditional commands here when I have a Windows system running. Oh yeah, I already touched on those, the scroll bar, menu bar, and toolbar. So I'm turning those off when there's a Windows system on, because if there's not, the commands are just going to fail. And then I have display time, display battery mode. They display those two things in my mode line here because I otherwise don't have any kind of taskbar or anything. Next, we have server start. And what that allows is for you to quickly, in kind of an easier way, just open a new buffer in this Emacs instance instead of opening a new instance, right? I guess that's kind of a decent way to explain that. Anyway, so then I have the conditional logic here for loading the other two files. So if I'm, if there's a Windows system, I'm going to load the next file that I call init base. And then if my Windows system is from Microsoft, then I will load, I mean, unless it is from Microsoft, excuse me, then I will load the next one, which is init extra. So basically the only case where there's not going to be a Windows system is going to be Termux, or if I happen to open Emacs in the terminal before starting X, in the console, excuse me, or if I'm on Termux on my phone. So that'll load only this stuff, which is basically just the basics for me to look at org, and even more than that, honestly, but I don't know, it's fine. And then if there is a Windows system, we will load the next file, which is init base, which has a few more things that I use both at work and on my Linux laptop. And finally, if we are not on that Microsoft display server, then we'll load the last file. So that file will only be loaded when I open Emacs on my Linux laptop. And finally, we have the line that says provide init. Provide init. It just tells Emacs that this is what we're going to call the stuff that this file is providing. We're going to call it init. In this case, it doesn't do anything. I will come back later with another one where I'll go through the packages in init base and init extra. So my hope is that, you know, maybe you'll learn about a couple of packages here and there that maybe you didn't know about if you use Emacs, and maybe you'll try them out. Otherwise, hopefully this will lead you to try out SpaceMax or Doom, or even my configuration here, which I'll make available in the notes. Okay? All right. Thank you for tuning in. Now, if you have time, you can do like I'm doing here, and after work, you just get in front of your computer, pick up your phone, and start talking into it. Just go on and on about, you know, this stuff that maybe there'll be like two or three other people who will be interested in listening to it, right? Hopefully, there are some Emacs fans out there that'll sit through 38 minutes of this, all right? Anyway, so I hope we will hear from you soon. Just record your episode and send it into Hacker Public Radio so we can get to know you and listen to you. Thank you, and come back tomorrow for another one. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.